Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. I am Spencer Hall, editorial director at SB Nation, founder of EveryDayShouldBeSaturday.com. You're listening to this because you want to talk a little college football, but you don't really want a whole lot of information. Let's be honest. You just kind of want to talk some shit. That's okay. We're here to talk shit, too. Joining me from God knows where, Jason Kirk, college football editor at SBNation.com. Say hello from the footlocker you are currently trapped inside, Jason.
Hey, yo, I'm in the middle of Indiana, and I'm told my audio sounds bad. But primarily my focus right now is there's a brown recruit spider on the porch where I've been told my audio is slightly less bad, so I'm sacrificing my personal safety for 10% less awful audio. Just because that's how much I love all several dozen of you listeners here listening to us here in central Indiana.
This is the best part, that even the internet in Indiana sucks. It makes it sound like it's 1940.
You'd think some of these Purdue grads would have engineered some better internet, but no, the internet has been fine. Apparently it's just the audio qualities. Oh damn, there's an even bigger spider.
No, Purdue grads can't help make radio or television waves better, because then more people would know about Purdue.
I got the spider.
Also,
like, they need to put a Faraday cage over the state at this point.
Also, those bastards over in Eagleton will never let it happen. the warbling tenor that you hear discussing Faraday cages being put over the state of Indiana.
Alto.
Yeah, alto? Would you describe yourself as an alto or a tenor?
It's not a goddamn tenor.
No?
No. Nope, it ain't now.
Mezzo tenor? Yeah. We'll give you alto.
Sure.
You're singing an Al Jarreau's range, okay? Mm-hmm. You would be Ryan Nanny, contributor, personality, important organ at SBNation.com. Joining us live from beautiful Brooklyn, New York. I said beautiful.
I'm making kimchi. You should know that.
That's good. Are you a kombucha household? Is that a thing that happens?
No, I've tried kombucha. It's fine, but it's really hard to shrug off the feeling that you're intentionally drinking something that went bad. You know?
Well, like, every time you drink alcohol, you're drinking something that at one point took a turn for the
worst. It's turned. It's literally the fermentation is nature saying, nope, that's not good anymore. I'm going to eat it. You didn't.
That and this. Kombucha, we got it in our little, you know, like you get your fresh produce thing that comes to your door in a tub.
Your CSA,
Your CSA. I got one, and because the person in our house who orders that had ordered it while hungry, had gotten a bottle of kombucha. Just someone's nice, like, I make it in my house, kombucha that comes in like a bottle, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I opened it, and it went off like, I'm not talking like cartoon scene of somebody opening a fizzy bottle. No, I'm talking like it went off like a nuke, like all over the kitchen, and I smelled like bad fermented crap for like a day, which is longer than usual.
That's bad. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And
is this the only podcast that's going to talk about kombucha and Mississippi State?
We are the first and only. We are in preview mode. You should know. So why not go ahead and we just leap in with the accidental kombucha spill of teens, Mississippi State.
Oh boy, I'm pretty sure if you go to Mississippi State, go to a Mississippi State game and ask somebody what they think about kombucha, the answer is going to be, well, you know, he's adding depth to the running back position. I think he's got to bulk up a little bit, but you know. Booch is going to get rolling for the end of the season.
I hope his big brother gets help, but it's a shame what his recruitment's going to do to the Rebels. Of course, they deserve it. All the cheating they did to get him on campus.
Either that, or you get this. You get somebody who's in the ag department who's like, well, listen, what kind of fermentation are we talking? Because I need to know exactly what we're dealing with here. I need to know your rates. I need to know your yeast. What yeast are we working with? How do we even get this started?
You saying we can't ferment a strip steak? Because we'll try.
I fermented Jackie Sherrill.
Jesus.
Let's be honest. Jackie Sherrill pickled himself a long time ago. Anyway, what do we actually like when you think of Mississippi State? Like, I obviously have, like, I have certain things I think about them. Right now in 2016, I think of them as this. I think of them as Dan Mullen's starter job that he's never left. Like, you know, he was working at the movie theater and he was going to go back to school, but damn it, they hooked him. They paid him $42,000 a year to run that movie theater. And he just kept staying. And, you know, they give him a plaque. They're like, oh, man, you're like the best movie theater manager in all of Largo, Florida. And he's like, oh, wow. I mean, they really value me. And then they give him a raise to like 46. And then after like 8 or 9 years, they go, oh.
Nobody comes to the movies anymore.
How much longer do you think until his like extremely northeastern accent adds some real southernness to it and we get sort of just an unholy beast of an accent? He's talking about eating, you know, New York pizza and whatever, but doing it with, you know, just some real Kentucky Fried Chicken accent.
I think he's holding on to it as long as he can because he wants the Michigan State job, insert Big Ten job, whatever.
Yeah, he's got to retain that because that's his one foothold. That's his one life raft out of that accent.
It's why Les Miles has never really
interviews for the Penn State job or whatever.
Right.
You know, he's got to be able to pull out that, well, sure, I can recruit New Jersey. Listen to me talk. You know, like he's becoming sort of a. Because then he can also say, you know, I can recruit the South because they'll have that shining through. He's really becoming like an amphibian.
Yeah, this too. That with Dan Mullen, the pattern has been this: that Dan Mullen has entered the interview process. Dan Mullen will do the interview, and then Dan Mullen will inevitably come out of the interview with somebody saying, "Yeah. We just didn't like him."
Yeah, that happened with Miami and somewhere else, right? There are two different ports that two different schools were like,
was pass. Yeah. When I think of Mississippi State at this point, I think of like a bicycle Ed Begley Jr. built that has solar panels and somehow runs on biofuel. And at first, you're like, that's pretty good work, Ed Begley Jr. I didn't think a bicycle could have that kind of potential. But then the novelty wears off after a couple years, and you're just like, well, it's not a fucking car. And it's never going to be. That's you, Mississippi State. I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah, that too. Mississippi State, this is a team also that the theory being that if Mississippi just had one school, that'd be an amazing football power. Mississippi has three schools, really, yeah. When you talk about how they do that. That's if you're not even counting some of the JUCOs. And Mississippi State, if you've never been to Starkville, here is your pitch to come to Starkville. Your pitch to come to Starkville is, do you enjoy open space?
Cool. Cool.
Let's see here. So, if Mississippi only had one program, I'm looking at we put up a thing last week. Like,
they'd be Arkansas.
Yeah, that'd be more what it would be like. Percentage of the country's blue chips by state. Let's see. They're below Illinois, for instance.
Sure.
So,
but you know, Illinois's got Northern Illinois and...
Sure. So let's find the nearest...
Southern Illinois, that's the other one, sorry.
Okay, I can go darker. The Please nearest do. One FBS school state, which is above Mississippi in blue chips, is New Jersey. So,
Rutgers!
Three schools are sharing that bountiful basket of plenty. And one of them has a little bit more money than you.
So they're the Rutgers of
They're the sub-Rutgers of southern New Jersey.
Which means, by the way, like, and I would say two things here, both contradictory. One, Dan Mullen reinstated and has consistently defended a player who repeatedly punched a woman.
Yeah, there's even video.
There's video of it.
He's
right.
The player is suspended for one game.
Yeah,
not 1 year, not 1 month, one game, and it's against, I believe it's against South Alabama. It's a game that almost literally does not count.
It's against USA. It's against the whole nation.
The entire country, which, you know, sure, if you're going to do that,
that's exile.
I don't like y'all that much.
When you're suspended against USA, you're exiled.
Yeah, he's got to play in Cuba or something.
Yep, and yeah, whatever. Players apologized, and he's being charged with two misdemeanors, but whatever. You got suspended for one game, and that's complete horseshit. That's complete and absolute and total goddamn horseshit. So shame on you. Shame on basically anyone who would defend a one-game suspension for that bullshit. So yeah, fuck him. I was going to say something nice, but now I'm mad.
Yeah.
He's done a great job and then just made himself look like an ass by doing that and only having one game.
Yeah, so, I mean, a year before, or a year or two before, you know, everyone rained down pretty hard on Bob Stoops for suspending Joe Mixon for 1 year for this. So
yeah, that's the joy.
Near as stern as that was, like, somehow it made that look like a really strong punishment.
Cool.
Which, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, Dan Mullen made college football look bad, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, good. So, yeah, I was going to say, boy, yeah, you know, there, you're the best coach in Mississippi State's, like, contemporary history in terms of consistency, and that almost, like, yeah, that just goes out the window the minute I'm like, and you suspended a dude one game against a meaningless team for totally punching a woman on camera. Okay, great.
But Ole Miss cheating. Ole Miss cheating.
Yeah, yeah. However, more importantly, an Ole Miss assistant gave three players a ride to Memphis. So,
and
really, two
did
sides
they,
of the
maybe
same
they
swing.
Punched people there. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah. They probably did. Certainly they did. The NCAA is looking into it. Rebels are done.
All Empire's right. Done.
Let's talk about the schedule. Up
rings will be turned back in.
Thumbnail sketch, by the way. An immense year to step back. They lose their most productive offensive player probably ever in the terms of a single personage in Dak Prescott, and certainly by single season and almost definitely by a career. They have to replace him. I don't know. Mississippi just generates giant quarterbacks. I got a guy named Elijah Staley who's like 6'6", 248, and could probably throw the ball through a barn. Whether he can hit that barn or another barn is the question. And it being Starkville, no shortage of barn-related targets. And I'm not exaggerating. It's rural. It's agricultural. They're proud of it and should be. You want to look at the schedule and just see.
Yeah, I mean.
And that and a mega depleted defense, I should add.
Yeah. So, non-conference, South Alabama. At BYU, Samford, at
and
UMass.
The granddaddy of them all.
That's at BYU. Okay?
At BYU, I mean, BYU, I at least understand why you would schedule a home and home with. At UMass, I am less clear on.
I have killed three enormous spiders out here. Indiana, don't ever schedule a home and home with Indiana. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. And I think the Mormons originally came through Indiana, so maybe it's just wherever Mormons have been, are, or will be, don't schedule.
We'll ask Matt Brown about that.
Schedule FAU. The cross-division schedule is also pretty sad. South Carolina at home, at Kentucky. Blah.
Yeah. So you're going to lose to Will Muschamp at home.
But then you got to play your SEC West schedule, which includes road trips to LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss. That's not great.
No, and this too. I would also say, looking at, they could be 3-1 out of conference. Where are they going to pick up a definite game? I mean, I don't know. Auburn, we've discussed the unknowability of what Auburn will be this year,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's in Starkville, so you know, give them credit for that. Maybe sure. pick up two games. maybe pick up a game there or two. This just feels like a team that's going to struggle to get to like 7 wins, right? And they certainly feel like a team that's on the downslope of Ole Miss in terms of in-state talent, in terms of where that's going at the moment. So I don't know. This feels like a 7-5 team. 7-5 with some real, real bad fives.
I'll flip that 5-7.
5-7. Wow. I don't
think this is a bowl team.
I think they can pick up. I think they can pick up an Auburn. I think that A&M. We don't know anything about A&M, and that's in Starkville.
True.
Right?
Although A&M really sucks at home, not on the road.
True.
I'll say 6-6 just because you get two very weak SEC East opponents, and outside of the BYU game, which comes 6 days after the Auburn game and is going to be played at night in Provo. This is a bad one. They should be able to get 6. If you didn't get to 6, it was a particularly crap year.
All right. That's it. That's all Mississippi State.
Bye.
Bye.
You want to stay in the SEC West? We have two other teams there. The numbers.
Yeah, we got some catching up to do there.
Yeah, we do. You know what? Let's get here. I want some festivity.
All right.
Boy, somebody give me our resident spiciest team year in and year out. Doesn't matter what the ingredients are. Les Miles is making you a hamburger. Here comes LSU.
But I ordered penicillin. Doesn't matter. Yep.
Doesn't matter. Here you go. Get some penicillin in that hamburger for you.
Penicillin was discovered on accident, and that's how I'm going to find a quarterback.
This meat has a want to disinfect the stream of your blood. It has the chest and the fortitude that you need to succeed in the SEC West.
I like to see a young man who wants to put a burger in his blood.
You have one stomach affection. This cow had 7 stomachs.
On a sesame seed bun. Mm-hmm. And wrap it in tin foil. Just the thin, thin tin foil. And deliver it rapidly through a fast food window for a low fee.
Eat at Arby's.
eat at Arby's. Very, very curious move, by the way, recruiting wise, for Les Miles to be pictured in a cop uniform this week. It's always a good thing when you're going.
Was there any context to that at all?
I don't want to know.
He's in a movie. The timing was horrible, but he's starring in he has some sort of a role in a movie.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a movie. Okay. Yeah, but timing really couldn't be worse, considering just any day, really, in Louisiana. But we do have this. We have Les, who basically nothing ever changes. Les Miles never changes. Is there any reason to believe that they have a functional quarterback? Jason?
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Harris was a true. I've been stumping on this for months. Been waiting on this preview. Brandon Harris was pretty much SEC average as a sophomore, and SEC average. That means he was terrible. I get it. But basically the same numbers as Kyle Allen last year, who was, you know, probably the most sought transfer quarterback, and everyone praised Houston for landing him. So if they'd gotten Brandon Harris, we should have been just as excited. Plus, he can run. Another year in an offense that we should have a piece up by the time people listen to this on, ideally, LSU sort of veers one way or the other, more spread or more pro style, pick one, because he sort of needs to develop a full command of one or the other. But I see a lot of reason to hope in Brandon Harris. He's got a ton of talent around him. The offensive line should be pretty good. It's replacing, I believe, 2 players, but, it's LSU. There are 18 5-stars to choose from, possibly the country's best player behind him, possibly a first-round wide receiver. To me, the big difference for LSU this year is, for the first time in, 5 or 6 years, they're not losing 8, 9, 10 early entry NFL draft guys. They basically had none. So, I mean, to me, it's there's actual depth for LSU this year, and there's some, you know, some actual veteran presence, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like Brandon Harris, you know, he gets stuck with the LSU quarterback tag, but there's reason to think he can be better than the stereotypical LSU quarterback. He was only a freshman and a sophomore. You know, if he can't do it this year, okay, fine. But, you know, I think he's been written off way too early.
I think also there's one thing to complicate that theory. Both tackles graduated.
Whoops.
Yeah, right. So you bring back your interior of your line. I mean, every single team in the country is replacing at least one offensive lineman. I'm not that worried about that. You're bringing back everybody else.
Okay. So you're buying this house. Every house needs a foundation.
Listen, I put my name on wax. I did my bowl projections a couple weeks ago. I had LSU as my number one playoff seed. I am pressing the red button, jumping out the plane. I didn't even look to see if I have a parachute. We're over open water, and the Lord will carry me safely home because, yeah, I'm all in on LSU. Let's do it.
Okay.
Whew. Okay, that's fine.
I do
find it interesting that LSU has not had a negative turnover margin for the season since 2008.
Like, yeah, just kicking the can down the road. The fiddler will come next year. It won't be this year.
The only thing worse than a second mortgage is not taking a third.
How are you going to pay for the pool?
Yeah, sure. Is this the part where I pretend like I know things about LSU or that the first month of the season will tell me anything about them?
I mean, you got Wisconsin. You're going to kill Wisconsin.
Okay.
I just set up some real awkward opening Sunday reactions. But
yeah, also you got this too, which is, Leonard Fournette comes back.
Yeah.
Hey, Leonard Fournette's back. He's not graduating. I mean, he really should be in the NFL, but, you know, this is a stupid sport. He can't go yet. So he has to play one more year, and that's real good for LSU because he's amazing. So if he didn't get hurt, you're kind of looking at, okay, I can at least build a really good offense around just this, right? The rest of it can come. It can follow along. Cam Cameron? Sometimes frustrating, sometimes really super good at only asking his players to do exactly what they could do. That's me like poor mouthing an NFL offensive coordinator working in college, but it's true. Been pretty good with putting people in the right place. Not all the time, but pretty good. Let's just look at the schedule. What game do they lose? Like, that to me is easier when you go, okay, well, what do they lose? Because they will probably tar and feather anyone that they have a talent superiority to, right? Which is most people on the schedule.
You get Bama at home after a bye week. I mean, obviously Bama is the scariest game, but it is at home after a bye week, which I think Bill looked at the numbers on those two factors, not specifically LSU. You know, traditionally home field is 3 points. Traditionally the bye week thing is like another 2 points. So, hey, if you're within 5 points of Bama, you know, maybe that game's a toss-up. At Arkansas, at A&M, at Florida, at Auburn. At Florida's probably a scary one. That game always gets wacky. They play Arkansas in November. That's never good.
Yeah, the other tough home game is Ole Miss. So, yeah, because that's a real squirrely matchup.
There's also the potential to just lose a dumb game.
Sure, you could lose to Southern Miss and win the national title. You're less miles.
When's that ever gone wrong for LSU, losing a dumb game? I mean, Florida, that might be harder.
Only about half the time.
Yeah, only about half the time. To me, the obvious loss is Alabama. I can't find a real obvious loss anywhere else on the schedule, especially Missouri has to play there on October 1st.
Oh, yeah. That's me bad. It's going to be bad. It's fine.
That's going to be bad. So, I don't know. This feels like, what, 11? I could call 11-1. Like, this is an 11-1 team. They're that good.
Jason? Yep.
That's what I have. 11-1. Bama drops, say, you know, just enough to make the tiebreakers work, and you get in the playoff.
All right, I won't. I won't stand in the way of progress here. Sure, put him 11-1.
Woo! Also,
there, did it.
Also, you know, if you want amateur night, Wisconsin, LSU, at Lambeau. It's going to be a scene of human indignity and indulgence.
Oh yeah, there's going to be You remember that one scene in Seven where they find the man just passed out in the spaghetti? Dead in the spaghetti? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be like that, but pastelaya. So.
And it's going to be, that's September 3rd, a mid-afternoon kickoff. It's not going to be that cold. It's going to be like, I feel like LSU fans are going to be showing up in parkas and regretting it.
There's going to be so many shirtless people of dubious shape and form.
It's going to be that kind of situation where it's a little chilly in the morning. You know, you're extremely buzzed, and you sort of look up and you're like gushing sweat and trying to remove your clothes and barely function. And man, that's just a good scene. Just the smells of all those sweaty, discarded garments everywhere.
Oh man. Yeah, so if you wanna burn clothing,
see that.
Yeah, if you wanna burn clothing for a good cause, go there. You'll be running a 1 day charity doing a service to mankind. Also LSU people will like cook food over it. They're like, no, that's sweat. You'll get into the meat, Sharon. It'll smell so good.
That's nature's based.
It's the bourbon of the human lymphatic system.
Basically.
I kind of want to go to Penn State next. Like, wow. Let's come back. We'll discuss that.
Spencer, go to Penn State.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's discuss anything we know about Penn State football 2016.
The only question we have to ask about this schedule is how many games does James Franklin have to win to keep his job, and which games does he have to win to keep his job? Right.
You probably shouldn't lose to Temple or at Pitt.
Yep.
Ooh, no. Don't lose to any of the sub Penn States. Don't lose to any of the sub Penn States, right?
It would definitely be worse to lose to Temple again, because then Temple has a streak on you.
But if you beat Pitt, then you can say, oh, we won our rivalry game. We don't really acknowledge the other thing. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. I mean, they lost to Temple last year. I think that game was in Philly? Maybe not.
That game was in Philly. Yeah. That was the game where I think Hackenberg was sacked. Was it eight times
eight
at
or,
one
eight,
point?
Eight
with,
or nine? Yeah.
At one point, the mid-major was rushing two players at six blockers and brought down Penn State's quarterback. So they have a new offense coordinator.
Those two things are
loosely connected, I believe.
They have a new offensive line coach. I don't want to talk about it, but
obviously we still hold their old offensive line coach in high regard. He's now at Auburn.
We won't
blame him for that.
Keep in mind, he was also moving defensive tackles over to play offensive line. That's how thin they were. And his offensive
issues hit the line hardest.
And his offensive coordinator was John Donovan, which, cool. He's gone. Oh, so is the defensive coordinator. So yeah. a complete turnover on both sides of the ball in terms of assistant coaches.
But you still have James Franklin's, steady command of in-game tactics,
clock management.
The
situational awareness,
pre-game recruiting, halftime recruiting. You know, all the things that go into recruiting.
A lot of recruiting happening during games. There is one thing though. Christian Hackenberg is gone.
Yeah.
And now we get to find out if that's a good thing or not.
I'm gonna
if he just tears up it.
It's good for him.
Or whatever he is.
Man, I'm just gonna call it as a good thing. If there's a guy who's faster and can throw the ball accurately 8 yards downfield, hallelujah.
Or just hasn't been sacked as often.
I think sometimes when you get a quarterback like that, you just get that palsy and that fear and anxiety spreads to the entire offense. Right. I know it's I know it's simpler. The receiver couldn't block, and that offensive line could not function. It gets even worse when your quarterback is so clearly rattled that there's nothing to be done with him by the end of the season.
It's like when the Texans just stopped with David Carr. They were like, all right, you're broken emotionally.
Yeah, you're here. We're just going to drive on you for another 45 miles
yeah.
to see if we can get to the station.
Yeah. It's the beginning of the Bourne Identity training without all the parts where you learn cool shit. They just broke you psychologically and physically.
That is, wow. That is like the best description of Penn State football I've ever heard. Broke you psychologically with no actual...
Shadowy government project. Yeah, no, this all fits. And so, for what? And for what?
There's a new offensive coordinator up from the FCS ranks where he ran a... they're running tempo now at Penn State. Tempo and spread and stuff and buzzwords and various things that people like.
Multiple.
Like they have actual ideas and plans on offense now. That's good, right?
That's something.
Yeah, something. And they lost.
And their running back is very good. They have a very good running back. We know that.
Okay, so to go back to my original question, you got to win the first three. You can't lose to Kent State, at Pitt, or home against Temple. You can lose to this Michigan team on the road, I think. You probably get your ass handed to you.
That's a managed loss already on the schedule, right? Like, that's the loss where you go, okay, let's learn something from this ass hammering.
Right. You can't lose to Minnesota at home, and you can't lose to Maryland at home for homecoming, right?
Yeah, because you have the little local rivalry thing.
Yeah.
So
that's Maryland. So you got to start 5-1.
Yeah, and then after that, it starts to get real interesting.
It is.
You can lose to Ohio State.
Yep, 5-2.
You better not lose at Purdue.
No.
One cannot lose to Purdue.
No, so then... no. I mean, Nebraska did, and it worked out.
At this point, I think you can get away with losing to Iowa if they're
six and two
or so.
As of today, as of this date in July, yes. By the time we get to November 5th, maybe you can lose to Iowa. But let's say yes. So that's three losses.
You won't lose at Indiana because every Indiana game, of course, ends 58-57 with Indiana losing.
Yep.
Good God, you better not lose at Rutgers.
Nope.
They're also in your little forced rivalry circle. I like how the two teams the Big Ten went and got that nobody wanted, Penn State, was stuck with them at rivals. Because for 100 years, Penn State, swore they didn't have rivals except for Pitt, and they didn't play Pitt. So, hey, you wanted some buddies? Well, we got you some buddies. Now look who you're stuck with and better not ever lose to.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is almost like Penn State is the employee they're trying to get to quit. Like, here's your new bunkmates. Here, we'll move you into this spot in the office with all the spiders. There you go.
The sun is always on you here.
Yeah, and then they lose to Michigan State, right? Like, they lose that game. They definitely lose to Michigan State.
So the worst they can do is 8-4 for James Franklin to keep his job. And I will posit, there is a version where they go 8-4, look completely lost against those four, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and on that basis alone, they're like, nah, sick of this shit.
I'm going to go a darker timeline. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah, 6-6.
Yeah, wait, no, I want to be clear. 8-4 is not my prediction. It's minimum. It's sort of like when in Apollo 13 they're figuring out the minimum oxygen needed for the astronauts to survive. That's 8-4. Otherwise, we're gonna have to kill Kevin Bacon, eat his body.
So I think you can stay at 7-5.
No,
if you're.
No, 7-5, you're out unless
there's a lot of very specific landmines on this schedule.
Seven and five only works if you
savvy a savvy 7-5 Smith can pull off a 7-5 here.
That only works if one of the seven is one of the four teams we said you can lose to. You need a positive to balance out one of the negatives there.
I mean, Michigan State lost a lot. You can beat Michigan State at home.
Sure. If you end with a Michigan State win, maybe you can go 7-5, even though that means you lost to
somebody. You lost to Temple again. But, I mean, 7-5 does also sound about right as a record.
I like to flip it and call them the Owl Temple. And then it's like a hard Zelda level. Oh, man, that owl temple. I can't figure it out. Like get the ocarina out. See if I can still get the Miami job.
Like the damn water temple, except instead of water, it melted snowballs they threw at Santa Claus when he landed in the Eagle Stadium. That the temple now plays in. Cheesesteak.
And then Donovan McNabb puked on Santa.
Donovan McNabb threw up cheesesteaks on Santa in the Owl Temple. Only Meek Mill was around to chronicle it on the Hyrule flute.
2012 Meek Mill?
Yeah.
But that's better than 2016 Meek Mill.
Yeah, my favorite.
That was back like, hold up, wait a minute, Meek Mill, and made you want to lift weights and stuff.
That's my favorite.
That's better than current me.
That's my favorite discussion is people like taking rappers who are currently in a trough, a knee deer of their career, and going, no. 2012 Meek Mill.
Yeah,
I need that model.
Like when he went 9-3 Meek Mill.
I think
we're talking belt bowl Meek Mill.
James Franklin just needs to convince people that he's taking a page from the Sixers and he's tanking. Nah, this is how we get all the good recruits. Show them that they're needed.
Coach, Nick Saban means something different when he talks about the process. That's not how we do it here in the great state of Pennsylvania.
That and this, I think if you get, this is going to be a 6-6 team, and then we'll have maybe my favorite offseason storyline, which is who wants to coach Penn State? Because it's going to be a lot of not it.
Dan Mullen.
Oh my God.
I have a worse answer.
Well, go ahead.
Greg Schiano.
Ooh, that's.
Late, can I?
I think this is happening. I don't think we can steer off this track now.
There's some really horrendous things that can happen.
But Ohio State defensive coordinator Greg Schiano.
But laying the groundwork for that already. James Franklin was a player's coach. We need a disciplinarian.
Somebody who's not afraid to let a player get a staph infection to learn right from wrong.
Oh yeah, this sounded right.
They're gonna do this, James. You cannot lose the pit.
You can't spell MRSA without Mrs. And it's all about family here.
You see the consequences of losing to Rutgers. So don't do it.
Yeah, let's give Penn State 6-6 and never talk about them until we have to.
Can we just guess Duke's record and skip Duke? I mean, like, what?
No,
I
want to talk about one thing about Duke, if we can.
Okay.
We've reached a point with David Cutcliffe that for years it was, you could tell people that David Cutcliffe was as old as you wanted, and they'd believe you because he looked old. You could say, oh, David Cutcliffe's 78, David Cutcliffe's 83, David Cutcliffe's 95. And people would say, yeah, no, I mean, good for him, sticking around, making an eighth go of it, wonderful. But now enough people know that David Cutcliffe is not nearly as old as he looks that you can tell people the other direction. You'd be like, David Cutcliffe's 41, David Cutcliffe's 30. And people be like, yeah, no, he's just, I mean, the ravages of coaching. He's the most weathered 23-year-old I've ever seen.
And I like that. Benjamin Button.
Kind of.
But like the scrambled
frozen. Edition. Yeah.
Like when you're watching it on a channel you don't get.
Yeah, here, I'm just going to say Duke.
1997.
Can I say Duke 7-5? Y'all cool with that?
I'm going to say 5-7 because then they get to brag about their APR scores because, you know, the 5-7 bowl teams, they're judging APR scores, and Duke is first among FBS teams in that. So if we go 5-7, then that makes Duke as happy as they can possibly be because they can say we're the smartest of the 5-1 teams.
Okay, cool. I'm good with that. 5-7. Let's not talk about Duke.
Okay, bye, Duke.
No, it's not that we don't. It's not that we don't love you. We just don't know anything about you.
Arkansas time.
Get back to it. All right. After that brief Duke intermission, let's get back. get back to the
pig
brand.
Pimping, spending cheese.
Big pig pen. Oh man, I so don't
Baconator with cheese.
If you've made it this far, consider anything that we say about Arkansas to be just slander,
just nonsense.
Because if you're an Arkansas fan, that's all you're gonna hear anyway. You're gonna go, I heard you say we were gonna go undefeated, but I didn't like your tone.
Yeah, Arkansas loses a lot.
Granted, lost a highly underrated quarterback in Brandon Allen.
Yeah,
I thought.
Is Brandon Allen going to be that quarterback that we only realize after he's gone? Like, oh, he was very good.
Yeah. No, he's good, and he was real good and insanely productive. Not just like he was insanely productive when they needed him to be. Right? Like, it wasn't like in blowout losses. No, it was in those games where they had to, like, keep pace with Mississippi State. It was in those games where they really needed to rack up some points. He was great.
His stat line...
You plot his numbers out, they hang with basically anybody from last year.
His stat line against Toledo in a game they lost, 12-16, still makes no sense. Threw for 412 yards. Had no touchdowns. Only had one pick... And they scored 12 points. It seems very hard to do that.
Just laying up treasures in heaven, a.k.a. the Mississippi State game.
A.k.a. Cracker Barrel.
Against Ole Miss.
That's right. Listen, man, you got to put in that work. You got to lay... Listen, before you ever see the house rise, there's a foundation below the earth, okay?
You know, when you're trying to gain a significant amount of weight... In order to be a large enough player here at the University of Arkansas, you don't just gain weight by eating that one donut. You have to eat another donut and then eat another donut. You have to make it a habit.
It takes 200 gallons of water to make a chicken wing.
That's why there's so much water in the ocean. That's what all the oceans are for. We here at the University of Arkansas.
If we go to the Marianas Trench, it's full of chicken wings.
That's where we're trying to take this program. Straight to the bottom.
I just see Brett
Bielema. But not by being bad with our weight. We just want to sit on top of the ocean.
Buoyancy is the enemy of success.
You look at a buoyant team. That's like Auburn. Auburn's a buoyant team.
You know what's buoyant? Bubbles. Bubbles pop.
You put Gus Malzahn in the ocean. You could film that movie, The Shallows, with the skinny girl fighting a shark on the buoy. You wouldn't even need a buoy with Gus Malzahn. He could just stand up there on the water because he's so skinny compared to us here at Arkansas.
I can just see Brett Bielema putting an entire fried chicken into a pot, covering it with soil, and then putting 200 gallons of water onto it, being like, "Come on, come on, chicken wing."
Got a little song.
Here comes the chicken wing from the ground because I covered it with 200 gallons of water.
He's a good chef. Like, check the timeline. Like, he's tweeting out recipes left and right always. And then I'm sure
check the timeline.
I'm sure he's tweeting like the food he cooks for his wife, you know. And then like, okay, honey, good meal. Oh boy, I'm full, you know. Then it's off to the film room with us.
Time to tend the pizza roll, Bush.
Listen, do you doubt Brett Bielema has a pizza roll bush? I don't.
Sure,
look at what that man has accomplished in life. Look at his gross earnings compared to yours and mine. Think about it.
Yeah. Hey,
far from hating here. I mean, I wish I had all that, you know, all that he brings to the table, and then leaves the table with.
Is there a game on the, I don't know, early part of the Arkansas schedule that could, I don't know, make Arkansas fans totally flip their shit and say, oh, Brett Bielema's not the man for the, oh, this team's going the wrong, god damn it, we should never fired Bobby Petrino.
Oh, there's a big one. There's one in week two. Yep. That would be at Ammon G. Carter Stadium.
Yep.
In Fort Worth, Texas, on September 10th, when the sweltering heat of the Lone Star State will bake the already sopping wet Gary Patterson and Brett Bielema, who, against all logic and rule of law, will be wearing a gigantic parka on the sidelines. Oh man, there's going to be so much sweaty excellence baked into the turf.
This whole game is like that squirt emoji. Like, watching the whole game is just like...
At the end of this game, they're going to hug, and it's just going to sound like 1,000 Swedish fish colliding at once.
I mean, the entire... Like, Gary Patterson, I could go to tears laughing about how absolutely goddamn sweaty that man is. Just on a daily basis. He sweats like I do. He sweats when it's cold. It's my favorite running gag in college football. How absolutely unnaturally sweaty Gary Patterson is as a human being.
These two are both.
Oh yeah.
These are both two shoulder towel boys.
I bet department store clerks hate it when Gary Patterson comes in to try clothes on. They're like, well. Great. Gonna have to burn another dress shirt. Great. No. Here's the key. Go to the dressing room. Just get it over with.
Ring it out. They got a ringer. The Gary ringer.
That's what Bill Simmons' new site is about.
Yeah. Gary, this is my friend Gary Ringer. Tell him what you think about Goodell. Drinks entire bottle of grain alcohol. I'll tell you about that fucker. This is great TV.
It's important TV. That's the thing. It's important television.
Mm-hmm.
Never before has a white man been allowed to wander and meander around sports topics for no reason on TV.
The great thing about this sports bitching is you have to pay extra money to watch it.
Sure, it's premium.
So that's the cool thing about it. So yeah. If you manage to get past TCU, your next big game is against your current nemesis, Texas A&M, whom you've lost, I believe, two straight overtime collapses to. So try not to lose that one as well.
By the way, that is to answer Ryan's question. Don't interrupt, but yeah, there's one game here early on that if you lose, it's real bad, and then there's another game early on that if you lose. You're going to get fired the next day.
It's the freak. Yeah, Texas A&M's the freak out game.
Yeah, that's a serious.
Well, if you lose to Alcorn State, you're probably getting fired.
No. Yeah, that's a strong team. Nah, they're playing for Steve McNair. You know this.
Yeah.
In Little Rock. But yeah, October 8th, that's when you get the great football yanked out from Arkansas's like foot every single time. That's when you get the running gag, which is the hard fought loss to Alabama, because that's all Arkansas does. So it's going to be, you know, like, I don't know, 17-9, 16-9, where you need to score twice, and you might as well be the dude, you know, like the Bond movie, who has the cannon sitting out in the desert, and he's all he's got to drink. He's 50 miles from any help, and he's going to die, because that's what you are if you need to score twice late against Alabama. Bye.
I'm going to give you an 11 to 6 is your new addition to the Alabama Arkansas rivalry wiki.
I like that because I'm picturing Arkansas jumps out to 6-0 lead, Bama scores 11 unanswered.
I think lurches out to 6-0 because it'll be like 6-0 at halftime or something like that, but it was just an exhausting 6-0.
Yeah, but you earned it.
Good God, did you earn it? You left it all out there at 6 points.
But
soon after that game against Alabama, that bitter loss, after two surely just debacles, spectacles, Ole Miss Auburn teams who, when they play Arkansas, either team go like 8 frames in overtime or lose on like a backwards fumble or any number of zanies. You get November, which is proven based on 3 years.
I looked it up. They were 3-1 last year, 2-2 in 2014.
No. Like, what you need to do is you need to compare November to October and September because it's not about being good. See, here's the trick with Arkansas. They're not good, but they get so much better in November that they seem really good.
Right.
Because the key is to enter the top 20 in the next season.
It's like how Toyotathon might not actually save you any money, but it's called Toyotathon, so you're excited.
Yeah, if you jack the prices up high enough in September, your November sale against LSU looks a whole lot better. So, yeah, it's not about the 1-3-1. It's about the 1-3 in September.
Yeah, so you're saying that Arkansas is the online retail business that makes all its money between like Black Friday and New Year's.
It's Arkansas is like a fireworks store.
Okay.
Like there's a fireworks store in our neighborhood, and every time I pass it, I'm like, why the hell is that there? And then last week it's like, that's why it's there. That's or a couple of days ago. It's like, yeah, okay. But no. You got to check the point spreads too. I mean, it's not just the 3-1. I mean, they beat the shit out of what was it, LSU and Ole Miss 2 years in a row, something like that. I mean, in November, Arkansas, and you got to count the bowl game too. You got to throw that in there.
Sure.
So yeah, Arkansas, it rolls downhill. It gains velocity somehow. It gains mass. That's like a Dragon Ball Z kind of thing. I've never seen that show, but all I know is just things just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and at some point they just gave up on explaining how things are stronger. They're like, oh no, it's 70 billion times stronger, and they're like, no, it's 100 billion times stronger. You know, that's Arkansas. Just at some point it's just so large that just don't even play it. Stay home, Mizzou.
I will say this, that they have a real good shot, like a pretty good shot at being undefeated when they go in Alabama. Their obvious loss.
Ew, wow.
Right? So I think,
what about TCU?
I mean, they could win that game. I'm not saying this is me saying probable, right? They could probably be undefeated. Not that they will definitely or but it could happen, right?
Okay.
Like that's not insane to be like, okay, they beat TCU. They could probably beat TCU. It's a hard game. But, like, to me, that's a game where they can be competitive and maybe win. That's not crazy, okay? So even a pessimist comes out of September with what, 3-1? Then sure. They go to 4-1 with a popcorn game against Alcorn State. Then it starts to get a little tricky because October 8th, you get Alabama, that's a loss. It's just a loss. It's a loss.
I think you're 2-2 in September. I think you can lose at A&M also because you do tend to. Maybe you're 2-2 in October. You're losing to Bama and Ole Miss. But then the glorious 2-2 you get in November. It's just such a different 2-2. Maybe you haters can't quite see the difference. You can't perceive the nuances like I can. But it's just such a good 2-2 that you get in November.
Yeah,
and
you
then,
gotta get,
you know, you just annihilate, like, I don't know.
No,
you know,
photograph my 2-2 from its
Marshall
good side.
Or something in the bowl game. And,
yeah.
You know, you're top 15 the next season again.
These pants make my 2-2
look slimming. You know what game I'm waiting for, though, that has quietly become a very competitive, fun game? And that would be Arkansas, Mississippi State. And I'm not just saying, I mean, it was 17-10 in 2014.
Can I refer back to everything you said about
it? It goes off.
Okay.
It just becomes an absolutely ludicrous display of shoddy defense and high scoring offense. And what was that, like 63-58 or something?
Can I
the
wait?
First game this was the game where fans were just punching each other.
That's the reason I want this to come back, because because I believe the winning score happens and they flash to the stands and Arkansas and Mississippi State fans are throwing real face hitting punches.
They're like, man, you know what? We missed the touchdown, but listen, the hands needed thrown.
Listen, it's only gonna be a 1-game suspension. It's fine.
The best part is if you go watch that clip, these two dudes are giving each other their hands, and there's a woman in front of them who is like, oh God, Randy, really?
And both of them are Randy.
I know, the look on her face is just, I can't take you anywhere. God damn it, the kids are with your mom. I'm gonna have to tell her you're in jail.
Randy, we're here to renew our vows. The hell you doing?
We're here to rededicate our lives to Christ, Randy.
Christ put hands on him. Christ put hands on the moneylenders.
You're out here punching the jaw out of someone's mouth.
Moneylenders out here refusing to run the goddang ball.
Jerry Jones is a moneylender. That counts.
Well, I've just stamped 6-6. A tidy 6-6.
6-6, man? Your faith in November.
6-6. They do lose a lot.
I mean, the November is tough though this year. I mean,
I like 6. I'm actually going to go 6-6 too. This is the time of stress for Burt.
Burt's earned a little rebuild. I mean, it hasn't accomplished anything special, but I mean, look at what he started with. He's taking over John L. Smith. He gets a little minor down year.
Can I walk you fellas down the weirdest road?
Please.
Start 4-0, beat TCU, beat A&M, have everybody feeling good, beat Alcorn State 5-0, undefeated, heading into that Bama game, as Spencer alluded to, lose 7 straight.
But look awesome over the last 4. Oh, look real competitive against Mizzou.
God, what level of psychosis would the Arkansas fan base sink to if they lose 6 straight? They're going into that 7th game. Oh, when they lose to Mizzou. Oh my God. Oh, have you ever read Blood Meridian?